When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Monday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. It is a divisional round for the ages and a game for the ages last night between the Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs. All the things that we've been hoping for, we got this past weekend in the NFL. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock for the next 2 hours. We've got recaps of all the games. We'll hear from the key players involved in all of the games as well. Look ahead to what could be in the AFC and NFC Championship. Cover a little NBA as well. But Davis, you know, what a phenomenal ending it was to divisional weekend last night. I was probably wrong five times in thinking who was going to win that game. The amount of points that were scored in the last 2 minutes of the game were just incredible. And you talk about a rivalry that I think is going to be renewed for a long period of time. I guess the only shame of it is that it had to end here. What a great game that was last night.
Yeah, you know, it was a shame. And I mean, I think we should all be mad at the Tennessee Titans and their fraudulent ways, because if the Titans don't get the one seed, this, you know, we would have had the Bengals and the Titans dispatch, you know, the Bills and the Chiefs would have just beaten those teams in this round. And we would have had Bills and Chiefs for all the marbles, you know, next weekend. But you're right. I mean, you know, thought that game was over a bunch of times, and it's hard to overstate just how crazy the ending of that game was. So the Chiefs score a touchdown in 52 seconds. Then the Bills score a touchdown in 49 seconds. The Chiefs get a field goal in 13 seconds. And then the 8-play 75-yard touchdown in overtime. Just a breathless sequence of events there.
Yeah, listen, one of the best games, I've been watching this a long time, one of the best games I've ever seen for sure. Sort of reminds me when the Bills were on the other side of the Houston Oilers at the time, where I believe they were down 31-3 at the half and came back to win in the second half of the game. I remember that being the craziest NFL game that I have ever seen. This one definitely up there with the rest. Let's get to our headlines here on the show. Wild shootout in overtime. Kansas City will host yet another AFC Championship, four in a row. Let's not lose sight of the Rams, what they did. They were up 27-3 on the Bucks. Bucks all the way, you know, came back, almost won that thing in the NFC Championship, and the Rams are going to host the San Francisco 49ers next Sunday. Jason Tatum, probably lost in the shuffle here, had 51 points as the Celtics dominate the Wizards, and Ayoka Lee sets an NCAA women's record with 61 points in an upset win there in college basketball. So congratulations there. You don't see that very often in college basketball, men's or women's. Phenomenal game. For sure. All right, so let's take a look here at the Chiefs and go through what Patrick Mahomes was thinking. The game was down to basically 13 seconds left. Mahomes needed to complete two passes to give Harrison Butker a chance to kick the game-tying field goal, and Mahomes said that there was never any doubt in his mind.
That's the biggest thing on this team, is we believe no matter what, offense, defense, special teams, that we can do the job in order to win the football game. The first play, we hit Tyreek, and he got up as much as he can, got down. And then at the play to Travis, I mean, it was kind of a thing where he wasn't necessarily supposed to do that, but after the timeout, we got to look at what the defense was doing. And he actually said it to me. He's like, hey, if they do it again, I'm going to take it right down the middle between both the guys guarding me. And he went up the field, I gave him the ball, and he got in field goal range.
What makes the ending so great, Davis, is, as we welcome in our radio audience here on Sports Grid Radio, Craig Mish and Davis Maddock, is that we have an opportunity, Davis, to talk about a game as opposed to drama, which feels like a lot of the discussion that we have in sports these days are players that are quitting or getting in trouble or free agency or something else. It's sort of rare to have a game where we can all look back and say, we all watched it, we all enjoyed it, and it was for the reasons of what happened on the field. A lot of heat going Buffalo's way today, Davis, basically saying that McDermott with 13 seconds should have squib kicked, which looks like that was the right outcome. People are complaining about overtime, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. But I guess people will always find something to complain about or be critical about. I mean, to me, it was just an A-plus game from start to finish, and I got no blame at all on either side.
I mean, I'm not going to go that far. You know, I mean, it's one of my favorite things to do is Monday morning quarterback. But I also, you know, if we are going to criticize Sean McDermott for some of the decisions he made that were not good, we have to do the same thing to Andy Reid. And Andy Reid had two that stuck out as horrible. So the first one was, you know, kicking, punting on 4th and 4 from their own 48. You know, you have Patrick Mahomes. You probably should not punt that. You should just get 4 yards because Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback. And the other one, and this is going to be completely lost in the shuffle, it's 3rd and 1. They're on the 5-yard line. Andy Reid subs out Patrick Mahomes, brings in Blake Bell, and they run the speed option with Blake Bell and Jerick McKinnon. McKinnon doesn't get the first down, they kick a field goal. But, I mean, that was very close to ending the game, right? That they if the Bills had taken, you know, just an extra tick off the clock, that was it. That field goal ends the game. So I don't want either of the coaches to, you know, get off scot-free.
Yeah, I mean, look, in the end, obviously, you know, easy to say, you know, squibbing the kick only gives Mahomes one play to get it done. Totally understandable, but in the moment, so many things happening and not happening fast, happening at like rapid fire. I don't know. To me, it's just a very enjoyable ending to one of the better football games we've seen in a long time. Speaking of which, fantasy ramifications from that game coming up next. We should spend some time talking about both sides, including Tyreek Hill and Gabriel Davis. We'll do that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'll be looking forward to the ratings of the second half of that game between Kansas City and Buffalo last night as this thing just had so many twists and turns down the stretch. Welcome back to Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Davis back here with you. Let's go through our fantasy standouts in this game, and there were a lot of them in this game last night between Kansas City and Buffalo. Patrick Mahomes, 33 of 34, 378 passing yards, I think 170 in like the last 2 minutes, if I'm not mistaken, 69 rushing yards too. Didn't realize that. 4 touchdowns and 1 rushing. Tyreek Hill all over the place. Couldn't be stopped. 11 receptions, 150 yards, and a touchdown. Byron Pringle also had 5 receptions for 29 yards. And then some huge catches from Travis Kelce, including the game winner in the end zone. 8 receptions, 96 yards, and a touchdown for Travis Kelce. And Mahomes talked about, basically after the game, never forgetting the moment that he had in that win last night.
It's actually funny. A couple weeks ago, maybe last week, I was talking to Mike Remmers because he was in the Minnesota Miracle. And the final play, scoring the touchdown, winning the game at home. And he was talking about how awesome the environment was. And I was talking about how we had to play with Travis and the Chargers where he scored, but we weren't at Arrowhead. And so to be in this moment, this game against that team, and to make a play to walk off a game at Arrowhead, I'll remember this for the rest of my life.
No doubt. And Buffalo Bills fans, unfortunately, will have to remember what happened at the end of that game. But boy, Josh Allen, did he not prove who he is yesterday? Unbelievable performance from him. 27 of 37, 329 passing yards, another 68 on the ground, and 4 touchdowns in this game. Devin Singletary, I don't recall seeing any other running back in the game for Buffalo yesterday. He had 26 rushes, 4 receptions, 25 yards, and scored a touchdown very early on. Of course, the story that has some fantasy implications for next year, no question, Gabriel Davis has emerged as a monster target for Allen, who he had 8 catches, 201 yards, and 4 touchdowns, an NFL playoff record. Cole Beasley also had 6 receptions and 60 yards. No doubt you can imagine what a winning locker room looks like. I have seen a championship game in my lifetime where the losing locker room is something that you never forget. And I'm guessing that went down yesterday for the Buffalo Bills, and Sean McDermott clearly emotional after his team lost last night.
The game come down to, you know, pretty much 13 seconds. You know, I think they all feel the same way I do. We're all sick to our stomach and it hurts. We work really hard to get here, number one. And I know the fans are disappointed, and I wish I could take that off of them. You know, I wish I could take it off of the team, right? And but we can't. And you know, what doesn't kill you should only make you stronger. And I think this should make us stronger. It's going to take some time, but it should make us stronger.
Those two teams, Davis, Kansas City and Buffalo. I mean, look, Green Bay is good. Tampa Bay is good. Anything could have happened, by the way, in either of those games, giving Rodgers a win or Brady a win. We could be having a completely different conversation. But it's hard to argue that these are not the two best teams in the NFL right now.
I mean, I don't think Green Bay is very good. I think that, you know, I mean, could the 49ers have lost that game? Certainly. But look, you score 10 points at home in a playoff game as a number one seed, and you get what you get. We'll be talking about that a little bit later. It does, you know, this really only happens in football, Craig. Very rarely do you see this happen in basketball, hockey, baseball, where a series before the World Series feels like the championship is decided there because of the way it works, right? Single game elimination, far different than a 7-game series. And also the talent distribution just never works that way, because I guess in basketball, sometimes it works that way where the two best players in the world might be in the same conference, and that can cause it to be that way. But Patrick Mahomes, you know, best quarterback in the NFL, certainly if MVP was just taken on talent, he would win it every single year, very similar to kind of how LeBron is in the NBA. But Josh Allen, I think pretty clearly we can say Josh Allen is better than, you know, that veteran cadre of quarterbacks that has been around forever, you know, your Brady's and your Stafford's and stuff like that. So, you know, big, bright future for the Bills. Though I would say, and I hate to, you know, bring a depressing air to the conversation, but how many teams have we heard this said about, you know, don't worry, you'll be back, right? I mean, how literally over the course of time, you know, the Oklahoma, I mean, I'm very familiar with my Oklahoma City Thunder, right? They make the finals kind of before they're expected to in 2011 with Westbrook, Harden, and Durant. They never make it back to the finals with those great players. So certainly from a Bills fans perspective, I mean, it is just kind of one of those things where it's emotionally, like, it's crazy how sports can impact you this way. But emotionally, like, I know that had the Chiefs lost that game, had, you know, Butker missed that field goal or whatever, I would be feeling down in the dumps this morning. I would not be a happy camper right now.
Yeah, and unfortunately for longtime Bills fans, they remember losing those Super Bowls over and over again, Davis. I mean, I remember, you know, days where it was a very simple Super Bowl party where you'd go over your buddy's house. You know, there's no betting, there's no online, there's nothing like that. You're all filling out, you know, who's going to, you know, how many yards is Thurman Thomas going to have? You write it on a sheet of paper, put it in a hat, you put $2 in, and somebody wins 10 in the end, and you're all like pumped up. And I remember doing this year after year with the Buffalo Bills and thinking, oh, there's going to be one of these years where they're going to end up winning the Super Bowl. And they just came up short so many times. And then with 13 seconds left in this game, I was like, wow, it is happening. The Buffalo Bills are going to win. They're going to win the AFC Championship, and they're probably going to win the Super Bowl. I was like, wow. And I was like feeling good for Buffalo for a minute. I was like, yeah, you guys are going to get it. But man, tortured franchise there, you know? Not as bad as the Falcons probably, but it feels, oh gosh, it feels really rough. I mean, look, no offense to the Kansas City fan base, fantastic fan base as well, but the Chiefs have not been tortured like the Bills have. I guess that's my point.
Not quite like the Bills, but they're a pretty tortured fan base. I mean, also the difference is that, you know, their baseball team has won a championship in recent memory, right? The Royals won the World Series in 2015. The baseball team used to be really good, so that's very different. But if you look at the Kansas City Chiefs team encyclopedia, you see a lot of sadness. You see a lot of sadness in there, a lot of losses in the divisional round, a lot of years of not even coming close to the playoffs with awful head coaching. In fact, before Patrick Mahomes was there, the last time they made the conference championship was in 1993, and before that, the last time they made the conference championship was in 1969. So different because the Bills had all those Super Bowl losses in a row, and that really does, you know, kind of bend the psyche of a fan base in a crazy way. But the Chiefs have had a lot of bad football and a lot of teams that were B-plus teams that could never quite get over the hump, which is, honestly, I would argue that's actually worse. I think that is way worse to be the B-plus team that never gets it done than to be the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand. Look, under Marty Schottenheimer, you know, they won a lot of games. I think they were 14-2, if I'm not mistaken, 1 year. And lost in the first round or whenever they played. You know, Schottenheimer always got them to win the division, always got them in the playoffs, and I think he got fired even after a good season, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
So I understand, but yeah, I mean, look, getting to the Super Bowl, losing four times as a Buffalo Bills fan, that cannot be fun, and then having to endure yesterday also cannot be fun. I just don't find any silver lining with that. Fantasy wise, the biggest silver lining. Davis, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show. Gabriel Davis has to be somebody that we're going to be talking a whole lot more about. No offense to Stephon Diggs, but Davis came up so big in that game yesterday. All right, we'll continue our discussion and build around some of the games this weekend as yet another game that went right down to the wire between the Rams and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Is this the end for Brady? We'll hit on that next. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. For the second year in a row, a team in the NFC is one win away from hosting the Super Bowl in their home stadium, something that never happened. I for about 50 years, I don't think that this happened. Now we're on the verge of it happening in back-to-back seasons because the Los Angeles Rams went up on Tampa Bay 27-3. Barely held on for the win against Tom Brady and company. Let's take a look at our fantasy standouts from the Rams yesterday. Matthew Stafford, 366 passing yards in his biggest moment as a pro, three touchdowns, including one rushing. How Cooper Kupp was so open in this game, I'll never know. Nine receptions, 183 yards and a touchdown. He smashed his prop of 99 and 100 and everything else. Odell Beckham Jr., six receptions, 69 yards and a touchdown. Kendall Blanton, first time ever heard his name was yesterday. Two receptions, 18 yards. He also scored a touchdown. And Matt Gay was short on one field goal, but kicked the rest. His longest was 40 in the game. But clearly, this game went right down to the wire because of mistakes that the Rams made. Looks like they probably should have won this game by two or three touchdowns. But because Cam Akers fumbled at the end of the game, it required the Rams to end up kicking a field goal to win this one. And Sean McVay was asked about what he was feeling as the team was blowing it at the end of the game.
Yeah, I thought, I said, hey, this has got to be a dream, Jeff Cena, you know, but our guys just kept battling. I mean, the defense, their response after a lot of the bad situations that the offense put our guys in, they just kept responding. And then it found a way, okay, they ended up tying it up, and then the offense responds. And special teams comes back after an uncharacteristic missed field goal. We had a chance to go up 17 points. And, You know, it's that's why you play four quarters. It's a team game. I love this team. I love the way that they stay connected. They stay together. And certainly those are things that we have to clean up, Josina, as you move forward, you know, into the NFC Championship. But we'll take it. And it's a lot easier to clean up after you find a way to get it done.
Rams next week will host the San Francisco 49ers. We'll get to them coming up in our next segment. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers season comes to an end. Defending champs no more. Tom Brady throws for 329 passing yards, 30 for 54, and most of these numbers were in the second half. One touchdown, one interception. Leonard Fournette returned and looked pretty good in his first game back, 51 rushing yards. The key number here, fantasy-wise, 9 receptions for Fournette, 56 yards and 2 touchdowns. Another nice game for Mike Evans, 8 for 119 and a touchdown. And Rob Gronkowski had 4 receptions and 85 yards in this game. Of course, Tom Brady was asked a lot of questions after this game ended, potentially about his being his final game. He did not address anything of the sort when it came to that, but he did say that essentially he's been in this spot before and it never feels good.
It's one team, one year, and then it's never the same after that. And you know, you got to work hard to put yourself in a position to be successful. And we certainly worked hard. And, you know, every team at this point does. And every team is really qualified when you get to the final 8, then the final 4, then the final 2. And it doesn't feel good to lose any one of those games. And I've lost each of those stages. So at the end, there's only one team that's going to be happy. It feels good to move on when you move on. And obviously when you don't, you know, whether it was last week or this week or next week or the week after, 2 weeks after that, if you're the loser in that game at all, it all sucks to lose in the end.
Brady's comeback almost complete again, Davis. I mean, this would have been one for the ages had the Buccaneers completed that one. But the Rams did deserve to win, no question. They just, you know, were giving the game away in the end. And now going to host the NFC Championship game there. You know, Stafford had a great game. Kupp seems to be, I guess, just uncoverable at this point. I don't know what left there is to say. And the Buccaneers are going to have to figure some things out in the offseason, that's for sure.
They really are. I would imagine Brady is going to be back again, right? Because I was thinking about this actually while that game was playing, and I was like, is Brady more likely to go out after a loss in the divisional round or after winning a Super Bowl, right? Like, I feel like in Brady's ideal world, he wins another Super Bowl and he says, that's it. He gets his final one. He does the thing, you know, would probably win Super Bowl MVP and then says, that's it. And, you know, of course there would be part of him, you know, thinking like, oh, you know, did I leave before I was ready? Could I have won another one? But I just, in knowing what I know about Tom Brady, which I guess is not more than what is publicly available, I would imagine that he would like to go out on top. And I think physically it looks like he can still do it. Things did kind of turn against the Buccaneers with Chris Godwin getting injured, Antonio Brown losing his mind, Tristan Wirfs not playing in that game. Like, there were lots of things that could have gone better for the Buccaneers. They were one of the healthiest teams in the NFL last year. They were one of the most banged up teams heading in to the playoffs this year. But you're right. I mean, they are going to have to figure some things out. They are going to owe Chris Godwin a lot of money if they want to keep him. Clearly, they are going to need to add a third wide receiver, because when the Buccaneers were at their best, it was with those three dynamic pass catchers in there instead of, you know, Tyler Johnson and Brashad Perryman and Cyril Grayson and stuff like that. So they're going to have to spend some money. The defense is good. But yeah, you're right. I mean, what a disappointing loss. And my big thing from this game was, it should not have been close. Even with the second half flurry from the Buccaneers, should not have been close. Sean McVay called this second half like a coward. I mean, like a high school football coach who had never been there before. Just run, pass. You know, the defense, they pretty much kept a safety over the top of Cooper Kupp until that final drive. Like, I am embarrassed for Sean McVay, because, you know, McVay is considered one of these analytics coaches or whatever. But he just turtles up with leads. I mean, it is really embarrassing stuff from him in the second half of these games. The Rams literally should have had 40 points.
I was really surprised at that as well, because there's track record for Brady being down to the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and they were literally running the ball, running the clock down to one. Run the ball, run the clock down to one. I was surprised that they didn't just go with what was working throughout. Now, to be clear, here is sort of what's happening now. You know, as a player in the NFL, once you do the podium I think these are still the rules. Once you do the podium after the game in a loss that ends your season, I don't think that you're obligated the next day to come back and speak again. You are at some point, I think, before it all ends, the media availability, but the Buccaneers and other teams, they get to basically choose who they give you the day after. So today, Rob Gronkowski spoke to the media and said that anything's on the table. Brady coming back, sure. Him coming back, sure. Without Brady, would he come back? He said, yeah, I guess. You never know. So we're going to still have to wait on that. Bruce Arians also a short time ago said that the Bucs are going to plan a contingency plan right now just in case Brady decides that this is it. If I'm not mistaken, I think a couple of years ago, Davis, I think Brady was asked as to whether or not he would do a retirement before the season and then play it out. And I think he was okay with that. I think Rodgers was the one that said he never wanted to do it. He just wanted to walk away and be done. But maybe what we're in store for, possibly, is one of these deals where I could see it with him. I could see it with him where he says, this is going to be my final year playing in the NFL. Plays his final year with Tampa. Gronk plays his final year too. We've thought this many times before, obviously, but I get the sense that's what's coming. At least that's sort of my opinion.
Brady loves the attention. Let's be honest. Like, some of the guys really like the attention. Some of them don't. For example, I think Aaron Rodgers, after that loss to the 49ers, my guess is his time in the public eye is going to be dramatically limited for the next couple months. I don't think Rodgers is going to be doing a ton of interviews. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with him on the McAfee show this week, given the temperature of the conversation around Aaron. I did not see very many people shedding a tear for MVP Aaron Rodgers. I think a lot of people were very happy to see him lose in ignominious fashion there. But Brady doesn't get any of that. I mean, who criticizes Tom Brady? I don't even really like Tom Brady, like, as a person. But his record is so unassailable. Like, you know, like, he lost a game yesterday. Let's be honest, Craig. He played bad. I mean, yes, he's missing Chris Godwin. Yes, he's missing Antonio Brown. But Tom Brady did not play well. He threw the ball, 55 times for 320 yards. Like, that is Matt Leinart-esque. That is Jimmy Garoppolo when Jimmy Garoppolo is not playing well. Like, that was a bad game by Tom Brady. And he's not really getting that much criticism levied on him. So I think when you are kind of one of those guys that is all, and we saw this with Brees too, like, no one criticized Drew Brees. Even when Brees was at the end and his arm barely worked, no one is like, oh yeah, like, no one is burying Drew Brees the way that Aaron Rodgers, you know, got buried. So I think you're right. I think we are setting up for a Brady Gronk retirement tour next year for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, it feels like it. And I think the other point that you made is something that I'm actually surprised about, but it is really valid, which is when Godwin went down, I think that we were just all under the assumption that because it was Brady, we were going to find another Welker and another Edelman and another, I don't know, pick one of the receivers for, you know, like Grayson. Like, I was like, oh, this is going to be a great story. He's going to come in and he's going to catch 8 balls for 100 yards. And then Tyler Johnson's going to do it. And then they're going to have all these guys in the Super Bowl. We're going to be doing prop bets with all these Buccaneer receivers we don't know. And that didn't happen. So I think that is definitely something that they're going to have to address in the offseason, because none of those guys, including the other one you mentioned in Perryman, also did not come through in the ways they did. Scotty Miller, I thought, maybe a little bit. But yeah, the Bucs are going to have to do that if they decide that Godwin is gone. They could bring everybody back again for another season like they did last year. We just don't know. All right. Well, with that, we'll take a quick time out here on Fantasy Sports Today. Coming up next, the other hot topic of the weekend, of course, the Green Bay Packers go up 7-0 in the first 5 minutes of their game against the San Francisco 49ers. And some people may have tuned out and said, oh, this is going to be a blowout. Well, staying tuned with the way to go in this one. We'll be right back. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. For many years in the NFL, didn't have to have a great quarterback to win a Super Bowl. In fact, I remember for many years it was always anonymous players. Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer comes to mind. Are we on the doorstep here of Jimmy Garoppolo winning a Super Bowl for the San Francisco 49ers? He is one game away from it. As we take a look at our fantasy standouts, it's doing a disservice even to list him here. He did absolutely nothing in this game on Saturday against the Green Bay Packers. 11 of 19. I think those 8 incompletions, 7 could have been picked. My gosh, 131 passing yards and interception. Elijah Mitchell, 53 rushing yards, 3 receptions, 18 yards. Deebo Samuel had the biggest rush of the game at the end of the game for the 49ers. He was sort of kept in check a little bit in this one, but he looked fantastic on the field. Let's get real. George Kittle, 4 receptions, 63 yards. And Robbie Gould ends up being the hero with the walk-off field goal as they shock the Green Bay Packers. And the San Francisco defense scores a touchdown to shock the Green Bay Packers on special teams. But what has gone right for the 49ers? It certainly has not been their offense. It's been their defense. And this is the same team that gave up 4 touchdowns to Colt McCoy under defensive coordinator DeMeco Ryans. And Kyle Shanahan was asked, what is going on with DeMeco Ryans' defense at the moment?
Started trying harder, working harder. He just kept sticking with it, man. We got some good players. DeMeco's an unbelievable coach. The whole staff is stuck together. They never stop working, our guys never stop grinding, and it comes down to one game that could have gone either way, so that's why you always stay humble as a player, as a coach, and everyone in this profession. But, I mean, D'Amico's been amazing all year, and so is our D, and you get better or worse, you never stay the same, and those guys have been getting better.
49ers defense, no doubt, carrying them to this point. Can they do it one more week? How about 2 more weeks and win a Super Bowl? Who knows? Their defense playing out of this world. Definitely held Aaron Rodgers back in that game on Saturday. Rodgers was 20 of 29 for 225 passing yards and not much else. Aaron Jones, 41 rushing yards. He did his damage on receptions. And Rodgers did find Jones late in the game for a really nice long reception, 9 for 129. A.J. Dillon scored a touchdown on 25 rushing yards. And Davante Adams, who's also now a free agent, he had 9 receptions for 90 yards in this game. But of course, all the focus right now clearly on the future of Aaron Rodgers, and he was asked what his future is.
Where'd your future stand?
I mean, I did not think we'd be talking about this after this game, but
right.
You know, I'm going to take some time and have conversations with the folks around here and then take some time away and make a decision. Obviously before free agency or anything kind of gets going on that front, but you know, it's fresh right now. It's, you know, a little shocking for sure. Definitely haven't, you know, was hoping to have, you know, nice week after the NFC Championship to enjoy the lead up and then start contemplating some things. So I haven't even let the moment really sink in yet.
Aaron Rodgers taking probably the biggest social media beating in the history of the NFL after that game on Saturday. I think everybody got in on the action, you especially, Davis, more than anybody else after that loss, for sure.
I was loving it, man. Yeah. Dunking on Aaron Rodgers was that, like, you know what, Craig? That night to me, it felt like you know, the night that we found that Monte Teo's girlfriend was not real, that it was a catfish. Like, it felt like one of those, like, legendary nights on social media. And you are right. I was having a grand old time there, taking some dunks on Aaron Rodgers.
All right. So let's do San Francisco, and then we'll get to Green Bay real quick. It's been all defense, Davis. I don't know what else there is to say. Yeah, I mean, they have some nice offensive pieces, but the 49ers are not going to try and fix what isn't broken. I don't really understand how this defense all of a sudden has been so amazing. I remember games during the season where they couldn't stop anybody, but they're on the doorstep and they've dominated the Rams. So I guess why not?
Yeah, the last offensive touchdown that the 49ers scored was a Deebo Samuel 26-yard rush against the Dallas Cowboys. They have 0 passing touchdowns in the playoffs through 2 games, and Deebo Samuel got banged up in their final game. So I am not bullish on the 49ers heading into this game against the Rams. I think they have a tough road to hoe. But, you know, if the Rams are only able to score 13 points or whatever and Stafford is limited, and if they actually cover Cooper Kupp, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah, I guess so. And as far as the Packers are concerned, this is basically, essentially looks like Davis, it's all in or all out, I would guess. Either they come back and do this all again with Rodgers, with Adams, with Jones and Dylan. But if they don't, then, I mean, potentially you're squaring up here as the Packers as maybe the worst team in the NFL, I would suppose, without those guys. I can't imagine them. Put it this way, I view them as like a Houston going into next year, if they go that route.
Oh, I mean, if it's, you know, Jordan Love and Equanimeous St. Brown and Amari Rodgers and stuff for the Green Bay Packers, I think you're right. Especially because of what we saw from Jordan Love in that game against the Kansas City Chiefs, which was that, you know, he's been in the NFL for a year and a half. He's had a chance to learn under Aaron Rodgers, and they basically treated him like an undrafted free agent when he came in. Like, that was an undrafted free agent's game plan. So they are in the worst cap situation I have ever seen. Like, every single player they have is either expiring or owed like an ungodly amount of money. They, like, if they wanted to bring this team back, they'd be like $50 million over the cap. It's like, unbelievable how screwed they are.
By the way, they keep saying trading Aaron Rodgers is a possibility. I thought he was a free agent at the end of the season. I thought he redid his deal to be a free agent. I guess I totally missed something there.
Well, I think it works the same way that it does in the NBA, where you have like you can trade like the rights to the guy, or like the rights to negotiate with the guy. Now, he has an option next year. I'm looking at his stuff on SpoTrack right now, and it looks like they do. He is not truly unrestricted until 2024. So I think it's sort of like he can leave, I think. I think like either party can opt out, but basically you're trading the rights to Aaron Rodgers.
Gotcha. Well, coming days definitely will have updates on that. It seems like Rodgers, if he's being real there, is going to basically let everybody know in the month of February, because free agency is going to start, and so will the draft and all that. All right, Cincinnati Bengals are also off to the AFC Championship. Who had that at the beginning of the season as they go into Tennessee, and despite Joe Burrow being sacked, I believe it was 9 or 10 times, they end up winning. Burrow, 28 of 37, 348 yards, 5 rushing yards, 1 interception. Joe Mixon, over 100 total yards, including 6 receptions and a score. Jamar Chase, 5 for 109, and T. Higgins got back involved in the action, 7 for 96, very clearly the MVP of this game. Say what you want, it was definitely this kid, Evan McPherson, who is just rock solid kicking field goals. If he's not the second best kicker in the NFL, he's the third, that's for sure. 4 of 4, extra point, 54-yard field goal, walk-off to finish it. And the day after the game, the Bengals made some of their players available. One of them was their tight end, C.J. Uzomah, who was asked about his specific name that he has for Joe Burrow.
It hit me to say it is us after Franchise said he was tired of hearing like the why not us. It makes us sound like we're the underdogs, and we're not. You know, we in our heart of hearts, we believe we're the best team in this league. And, you know, kind of having that why not us thing is kind of like we're being passive and we're being shy. And after he said that, I was like, all right, dope. Like, from why not us? Why not us to it is us, that makes more sense.
Thank you.
Do you all casually call Joe Franchise?
I do. I think everyone else calls him Joe, or I think most people just, I called him French on accident after like after halftime, and I was like, what? That's not a name. Like, I don't need to do that. But he responded and looked at me, so it worked. Yeah, I don't know. I just call him Franchise now.
C.J. Uzomah is won the Good Guy Award for media for the Cincinnati Bengals this season. One of the more likable guys in the NFL. All right, Tennessee Titans. Speaking of unlikable, my gosh, another rough one for them yesterday. Another season-ending one that was rough for Ryan Tannehill, who clearly, when you pointed to the reason why they lost this game, unfortunately for Tannehill, it was probably the reason. 3 critical interceptions for him, and he threw for 220 yards and a touchdown. Derrick Henry returned. Didn't look all like Derrick Henry, I don't think, but good enough to win the game, 62 yards and a touchdown. A.J. Brown was open quite a bit, 5 for 142 in a score, and the future of Julio Jones definitely cloudy at this point, but he did finish his season strong, 6 receptions and 62 yards. A very unhappy head coach, Mike Vrabel, talked about the Titans' season ending.
I mean, it's the same thing you always say. Some 31 teams are going to be pissed off. You know, you don't show up to the stadium planning post-game conversations with your team about losing and about having the finality of the season and about when you're going to meet and all those things. So, you know, it's disappointing because I know that they fight and they compete. And I know that whoever does that again next year for us will do the same thing.
2 years in a row, home game in the playoffs, good setting, and you don't get the quarterback play that's required to win a game. What did you think of what Ryan did?
Well, I don't think Ryan or myself or anybody did enough to win the game. That's how it goes, Paul. It's never going to be about one person, not as long as I'm the head coach, which will be a while. So it'll never be about one person. We have to play better, we have to get open, not fall down. Defense got to get some turnovers, but we can't turn the ball over. We know that. We can't get stopped on down. So those are all the things that we talk about and reasons why you lose. On, you know, our third down conversion wasn't good enough. Our ability to score touchdowns in the red zone, but we all have to play better. We have to coach better.
We'll have months to dissect Tennessee. So let's do Cincinnati here, Davis. Do they stand a chance in Kansas City on Sunday with Joe Burrow, with the kicker, with all of these great stories that they have? Do they stand a chance to win? I know that they played them very, very well the last time out. And everyone
they beat the Chiefs 3 weeks ago. Of course they stand a chance. But I don't buy it. Like, of course they stand a chance. Of course, if I'm going to be rational, I'm going to be like, yeah, you know, they win this game 30% of the time or whatever. But then on the other hand, I go, you're coming into Arrowhead. Andy Reid's pulling out all the stops. They're doing, you know, all the crazy short yardage stuff they do. You know, I hope that they will have learned from their lesson of punting on fourth down too often last week. Like, it just feels like it's too early on Joe Burrow's evolutionary journey to make the Super Bowl. Like, you got to have a couple heartbreaking losses before you make the big dance, right? That's the way it goes, right? Mahomes did it. Mahomes lost against the Patriots. You got to take your medicine at least once.
We'll see. That sets up for a nice game on Sunday as well. We will take a quick break here on Fantasy Sports Today. We got the end of the hour here. Davis is off tomorrow, so he's not going to have a chance to weigh in on the Hall of Fame. The Baseball Hall of Fame. So we're going to get Davis's Hall of Fame picks real quick. Then we'll get back to some football discussion in the second hour of the show. So stay on the grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today right here on Sports Grid and sportsgrid.com. And also on the way, we'll tell you a little bit more about how you can follow us on social media. So stay on the grid for that. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can follow us on Twitter, on social media, at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread, fantasy content from our 18 hours of live coverage, including our trip, our upcoming trip to the Super Bowl in Los Angeles. So we should be providing some fun stuff for you there on social media. That's at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. I didn't get that Super Bowl invitation, so I'll be doing the shows here from sunny South Florida. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nod, nod. Maybe next time, guys. And girls. All right, so Davis, tomorrow you're going to be out. I know you deserve a day off, so we won't hold that against you for sure. But you don't get to weigh in on the Hall of Fame until Wednesday. So who's your Hall of Famers for 2022?
So I took a quick look at the ballot, and these are the guys that for sure I think deserve to be in. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Andrew Jones, Sammy Sosa, Manny Ramirez, and David Ortiz. Now, obviously, the first thing you notice is a bunch of steroid guys on there. Craig, I don't care at all, right? Just for me, don't care, doesn't matter. Barry Bonds is the greatest hitter ever, probably. I think. I mean, maybe someone would argue another way, but he was. If you go look at his numbers, it's absolutely unbelievable. And then my other thing is that the Hall of Fame is like, it's a museum, right? It is a museum of the sport. And I don't think you can tell the story of baseball, specifically in the 90s and the early 2000s, without these guys. And Sosa is on the borderline, but the Sosa versus Maguire thing, it was such a thing. It was a thing people cared about with baseball. And so I think that those guys deserve to be in.
We're going to touch more on it tomorrow. There are some pieces of what you said that I agree with, and there are some that I disagree with. The agreement part is on Bonds and Clemens. The disagreement part is just blanket putting every one of these guys in. You would feel differently, and you would have a different conversation if you were face to face with somebody who's not in the Hall of Fame, who could have been in the Hall of Fame had they taken steroids. And when that happens to you, like it happened to me, it's a different conversation at that moment. But we'll hit on that tomorrow. Headlines are next.